Or you can have the boat and the truck. Turn back in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 7. We got the introduction of our message in this morning and never got to preach. And I told folks we'd have to finish tonight. And some said they wanted to hear the rest of it tonight. We're just going to go back to verse number 36 of Mark chapter number 7. The Bible says, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Our Father, thank you again for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Help us, God, as we look to it one more time, God, just to stir our hearts again through it. And help us, Father, just to see you, Lord, for who you are. And just to realize, God, that in this life and in this world and in our individual lives, God, we can commit all things to you, for you do all things well. We thank you for being there for us. And we praise you for what you've done and what you're doing. We thank you in Jesus' name. We say amen. As we was preaching this morning and in our introduction, we was talking about how Jesus had been going about the area of Galilee around about preaching in the cities, and he was making a circuit, and he had come back to Decapolis, a place where he had been before when he met the madman of Gadara, and the people had sent him away and the people desired for him to leave because he had done something that they had never witnessed before. He had done something that they had been able to do. He had done something that made a difference in a man's life that actually more than anybody probably in the whole place needed something done in their life. Amen. This poor man just dwelt in the tombs and he cut himself. He hurt himself. They bound him like an animal but couldn't hold him. He was a madman and he was a crazy man. He was a fearful man and they were all afraid of him. But Jesus passed his way and Jesus made a change in his life. And it frightened them so much, I think, that any man could do such a thing, that they asked him to leave them. They asked him to depart from their coast. And now Jesus has come back to Decapolis again. And as he's arrived at Decapolis, instead of bidding him to go away again, they bring one unto him that has a need, another great need, another need that man cannot satisfy and man cannot meet. And they find that Jesus is in their coast again, and they bring him one that is deaf and dumb and needs the master's touch. And again, Jesus does what Jesus does. Amen, amen, Brother L. That's just God doing what he does. And he touches this body, and he brings hearing again. He loosens the tongue, and the man can speak, and they're astonished and they're amazed at what he's done. And they proclaim that he's done all things well. And certainly we know that he does all things well. Ever since he even thought about forming this world and setting this world in the sphere of heaven where it is today, he had already thought everything out, and he already had everything planned, and he'd already had an idea in his mind that was going to transpire, and everything that he has done well. Amen. It's man that has messed it up. Amen. But as we look and as we go to our text, and I don't want to re-preach this morning's introduction to this message. If you missed this morning, go get the CD. You can get the introduction. And then if you get tonight's CD, you'll have the whole message together. Amen. But we want to give you three thoughts that helps you to realize that he does all things well. If you look back in the first part of chapter number 7, you'll see that the Pharisees came unto him, that the religious crowd, that bunch with the scribes and with all their little minions, they came unto him, and they came seeking something, and they came finding fault, and they came desiring just to put him down. They wanted to put him in his place. They wanted to put him where they thought that he should be. They wanted to see him for who they thought he should be. They wanted him to act like they thought he should act. And you know, that's just the way the world is today to Christians. They want to put us where they want us to be. They want us to act like they want us to act. I got people telling me all the time, well, if you're a Christian, you should do that. How would you know? You don't even know Jesus. How can you tell me what a Christian should act like? What a Christian should be? The Pharisees, they were all wrapped up in themselves. And Jesus, he listens to what they have to say. And then he rebuts them, and he chastises them, and he ridicules their religion, and he uncovers their falsehoods and their deceit and twisting the gospel all around. You see, the problem is a lot of people see Jesus, but they don't have it all of Jesus. Amen. They don't realize just who he is. They want him to be what they want him to be, and that's all they want him to be, and they won't take him for who he is, and they can't see him for who he is. They won't accept him for who he is because they don't want to be in awe. Most people want to be in awe of me. I'm in awe of who I am. I'm in awe of my desires. I'm in awe of what I want to do. And I'm not talking about A-L-L. I'm talking about in awe. I'm talking about A-W-E, seeing him for who he is. And I tell you what, religion will never see Jesus for who he is. Amen. Religion gets too wrapped up in religion. Just look around the world. There's all kinds of religion. And I told you this morning, religion has never helped anybody. Religion has never done anything that has really been beneficial to mankind. Jesus despised religion. Amen. Religion isn't where it's at. It's about the relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you stand in awe of who he is. We read back in chapter number 6 that he is a countryman. His folks that he grew up around, they had no use for him. They said, who is this? Why should we give him and lift him up? Let me figure. Why should we lift him up? Why should we acknowledge him? Why should we give him any glory? Well, this is just Mary's son. This is just Joseph, the carpenter's son. His brothers and his sisters, are they not here with us? He's just like anybody else. He's just like everybody else. Let me tell you, he's not everybody else. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the bleeding Lamb of God. He's my Paschal Lamb. He's everything that I need. Amen. Until I stand in awe of him, I won't realize how well he does all things. That's the world's problem. That's most people's problem today. They don't stand in awe of Jesus. That's a lot of Christians' problems today. Amen. They don't stand in awe of who it is that they serve. And that's why they don't wholly serve him with their whole life and with their whole heart and with their whole being. That's why they don't sell everything they have out to him, because they don't stand in awe of who he is. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's the one that bankrupted heaven that he might purchase for me eternal life. And praise God, if I can't give him what little bit I got down here, then I don't stand in awe of him. Because until he has all of me, I'm never standing in all of him. But you see, the other problem was some folks admired Jesus. And there's people today that admire Jesus, but they don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Some people who, they can't erase Jesus, they can't eliminate Jesus. There's too many historical records that proved, outside of the Word of God even, that have proved that Jesus lived. Amen? So they can't deny him. They can't refuse him. Even the Muslims have to acknowledge that Jesus lived. He's even written about in their Quran, because they can't deny him. And they admire him. But they don't want to stand in awe of him and accept him for who he is. And the folks, the multitudes, the crowds that flocked around Jesus, they've seen him and they admired him. He was the healer. He was the one that calms the storms in their lives. He was the one that made provision for them in a desert place. He was the one that done all these great things. And they admired him, but they were still missing who he really was. And until they seen who he really was, they would never really appreciate what he came to do. Jesus told his disciples, he said, a lot of folks are offended. He said, are you offended also? You going to go away like everybody else? And he said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the bread of life. He fed the multitudes. He fed another multitude. He calmed storms. He healed broken bodies. He cast out devils. He raised John's disciples were wondering. John's disciples were asking. John's disciples were just like us and were seeking. But he made known who he was. Look at what he said to his disciples here in Mark chapter number 6. He said to his disciples, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Then down in verse number 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came. You know, everybody wants something from Jesus, but everybody don't want to accept Jesus. Everybody wants Jesus to meet a need in their life, but they admire his ability. They admire the things that he does, but they don't want Jesus in their life. Amen. And they stand in astonishment. They stand in wonder. But they don't give him the acknowledgement of who he is and what he does. Everything that he did physically was a picture of what he wants to do spiritually. Everything that he gave them, he fed them with bread. And he told them, said, I'm the bread of life. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, unless you accept me as your Paschal lamb, as your Passover lamb, he said, you'll die. You'll die. You'll die a spiritual death. They were offended, and they rejected him, and they quit following him. Then the others said, well, we'll follow a while, because he's still doing all these great things. We got the televangelists tell you, well, if you follow Jesus, you're going to be rich. If you follow Jesus, you'll never hurt again. If you follow Jesus, he'll take care of all your diseases. Praise God. My poor friend, Roger Speck, he got cancer. And his mother-in-law and a lot of his family were Pentecostal. And a lot of friends that stopped by were Pentecostal. And they come by and they told him, oh, you're not going to die. Your diseases are healed. This is healed. This is taken care of. They had him drink stuff. And he told me, he said, Dennis, I'd rather die than have to drink another thing that they tell dying's going to make me better. He said, the dying's got to be better than drinking the junk. I think the asparagus was the worst, some kind of asparagus cure they come up with, and they grind up all this asparagus. And he said, I'd rather die. I can't get that through their head. I would rather die than deal with all this. Because Roger made that profession of faith. He accepted Christ as a Savior, and he knew that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. And he knew that his life was in God's hands, and his time was in God's hands, and everything that he was, his illness and his sickness, was in God's hand. And he was willing to surrender and submit himself unto God's will, but everybody else wasn't willing to. Everybody else said, God has to do this. Everybody else come, and God, we command you in the name of Jesus to do this and to do that. And you know what happened? Brother Roger Speck died anyway. He was a dear, dear friend. Man, I tell you what, he got a special place in my heart and always will hold that special place in my heart. But I realize and I know that some people get wrapped up in Jesus for what they think they're going to get out of it instead of for who he is. They ran before him. They heard that, and they saw that they were going into a desert place. And the Bible says they outran them to get there because they were wanting something. And as soon as Jesus got off of the boat, he seen the multitudes and was moved with compassion. And he began to move amongst them. But they weren't there. They weren't there because of who he was. They were there for what they were going to get. Amen. You know, that's the way so many Christians are. We get under, Jesus, give me this. I need a boat. I need a truck to pull it. Amen. Hey, that's some people's prayer. God, I need this. God, give me that. God, give me that. Now, never once say, Lord, I love you. Never once say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Lord, what is it that you want me to have? Lord, what is your will and your desire for my life? But it's God, give me. God, give me. God, give me. And God, give me. I don't know if they could pray a prayer and just spend some time telling God how good he is. Amen. Just worshiping him for who he is. Just uplifting him because of what he's done in your life. Well, you know, I drive an old car, and I got this, and I got that. You know, my wife is just now driving the first brand. We've been married 42 years, and she's just drove the first brand new automobile she's ever drove last year when we bought that car. The first brand new car she's ever owned. It's not about cars. It's not about houses. It's not about bank accounts. Sure, it's easier to live and it makes us more comfortable, but it makes us less dependent. Amen. It makes us less appreciative when we have so much that we forget that we have to put our dependence and our trust and our faith in God. We've been to the place where, you know, we live from paycheck to paycheck. You know, I got a fellow I told you about, Shaky, and I asked him one time, I said, boy, do you live from, you know, Friday to Friday? He says, no, I live from Friday to Saturday. Amen. He said, Saturday night, I'm broke. Amen. He partied. He spent his money fast. He spent his money hard. But we live to the place where we live for, we budgeted everything. Everything was budgeted down to the place where, you know, times we didn't have money to spend. We had one time we had enough money that we couldn't afford to drive. I couldn't afford to waste the gas to walk up to the 7-Eleven and buy one Slurpee. That's how much money we had left before payday the next day. Amen. I'm not joking. This is the truth. And, you know, we felt blessed. We felt blessed. We lived below the poverty level. We was entitled to all the government handouts that they had. But we were blessed because God supplied our needs. And we realized that God supplied our needs. We realized where our food come from. We realized where that next paycheck was coming from. It wasn't from the government, it was from God. The next meal was coming from God. I've seen a lot of people got the same paycheck I did and couldn't make it from Friday to Saturday. Amen. I worked at Amtrak and got a good job at Amtrak, and God blessed me with that. And I've seen people that couldn't make it from week to week and going forward. But God supplied our need. God met the need. He's always met the need. And I realize in my life that it is all about him. It's not about me, because he has always been the one that has supplied the need. Amen. And he's always been the one that has answered prayer. He's always been the one that we could go to when we had a need, or we had something that we wasn't sure about. And, you know, we bought the farm. I wasn't sure about buying that. We was getting ready to buy someplace. We sold our house. We knew we was moving, and we was looking for another house, and happened upon that, and just said, Lord, you know, let us know. Lord, show us. If he said no, that would have been fine. Amen? But she can tell you everything. People say, well, you shouldn't lay fleeces before the Lord. I don't know why not. If you got a doubt, you're not sure, and you want to know what the Lord's will is, he'll show you his will if you'll ask him. Amen? And he let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was his will. Amen? And we went through with it. But here's what I'm trying to say. It's not about things. I told Brother Adam here a while back, sometimes, you know, I wonder if God don't give you things and bless you with things just to see if you're willing to surrender things when the time comes. You know? And I love the farm. But sometimes we're at odds of whether it's conflicting with serving the Lord here. Serving the Lord and what he wants us to do. And I question that, and I want to know that. And I want to be sure of that. I don't want to let that place become a hindrance to doing what he wants me to do. You know, God gave Isaac to Abraham and said, Isaac, I want you to take, or Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to go to the place to where I'm going to tell you to go. And I want you to offer your son for a burnt sacrifice on the altar to me. And you know what God said? He said, now I know. Now I know that you're willing to surrender. You see, everybody, they admire Jesus as long as he's given them things. But I wonder how much they admire Jesus when he wants them to give up things. Sometimes in our life, there comes a time when we have to give up things. Sometimes it's friendships. Amen? Sometimes it's friendships. Sometimes it's things that we hold dear. Sometimes it's things that we hold precious. And we put in the way. They take time away from what God would have us to do and how God wants to use us. Do we admire him enough to where we can not only accept the good things that he wants to bestow upon us, but we can accept his will for our life when there's things that he wants to take away from us? Sometimes it's a loved one. And we get angry at God. Brother Rogers' family told me after the service that day we were sitting, his brother said, but Dennis, he said, if God would have just healed Roger, just think what a testimony that would have been and how many people might have got saved because God healed him. And I told him, I said, well, let me just explain it to you like this. God sent his only begotten son into the world. He touched and healed bodies. He opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead and gave the parents, their children, their loved ones, their loved one back to life. And they nailed him to an old rugged cross and they rejected him. And they're still rejecting him today. It wouldn't have made any difference. It wouldn't have made any difference. Because they only admire Jesus for what they want. They don't see that his plan for their life is a perfect plan. And that he does all things well in everything that he does. Sometimes we don't understand why a loved one has been taken away. But God does all things well. When God took Allie, and we had to pray before she went into surgery and just say, God, you know what our heart's desire is. God, you know what we want. I said, but God, the hardest thing I've ever prayed in my life is for not my will to be done right here, right now, but for your will to be done. And so we sat there in that waiting room, and I seen a couple of the surgeons, and they were just out in the hall pacing back and forth. And I got up and I went out and talked to them. I said, she didn't make it, did she? And they said, no. No. No, she didn't. They said, we just don't. And I've never seen doctors as compassionate. They said, we just don't know how to tell the parents in compassion. God, you know what our will is. But God, we want your will. Do you admire him? Do you trust him? Do you believe he does all things? Well, why would he take that baby away? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. She had a mommy and daddy that had got so far out into the world. They were so backslidden and ungodly in everything that they were doing that it brought them to their knees. It brought them to a place of repentance. And every now and then I need to remind them of the last time God had to ring their bell. And God got their attention. It brought another one of my children to salvation. It brought other people head on, face to face, with realizing who God is. Why did he take her? I don't know. But I pray that he gets all glory. And that whatever transpires from it. Was it easy? No. One of the hardest things we ever went through. But God does all things well. And I can admire him. I can accept his will. Even when it don't jibe with what I want. Even though it's not exactly what I had in mind and what my intentions were. God does all things well. Amen. See, the Pharisees, they couldn't see Jesus for who he was because they couldn't stand in all of him and in all of their religion. The people had admiration that was misguided and misplaced because they were placing their admiration on being fed and being healed and were missing the more important picture. And as you read the scriptures, you read the gospels, you find out that the longer Jesus went in his ministry, even though he healed, even though he raised the dead, slowly and methodically people quit following him because they didn't want to accept him for who he was. They only wanted to accept him for what he could do and what he would give them. But when he came back into Decapolis, these people who had seen what had happened to the madman of Gadara, how Jesus had took the rude dude in the nude in a really bad mood, amen, and put clothes on him and had him sitting and reasoning and speaking like a normal human being. They were astonished and amazed. And he said, leave us. Go away. But now Jesus has come back. And they brought the deaf mute to Jesus. And Jesus took him aside. Let him know what he was going to do. And he did what he told him that he was going to do. I'm glad that what he tells me in his word he's going to do, that he does. Amen. I'm glad that he can speak to every heart. He was able to let a deaf mute know that he was going to open his ears. He was going to loose his tongue. And he was going to be able to hear and speak like everybody else. He let him know that he was going to do what he could do and what he alone could do. For he alone is the one who had created this body and these people who had rejected him before. I've seen what Jesus done to this poor man. And the Bible said, Jesus told them not to tell anybody, but they couldn't keep their mouths shut. They couldn't quit telling what great things God has done and what great things Jesus had done. And he astonished them. And they said, he doeth all things well. I'm here to tell you today, he does all things well. He still does all things well. Amen. And I tell you what, I believe they adored him. The first time they rejected him and they refused him. But this time they stood in awe of him. They admired him and they adored him and they proclaimed him, not for what he was doing, but because of who he was. They stood astonished and they said, he doeth all things well. He don't just heal bodies, he does all things well. He don't just feed the hungry. He does all things well. He just don't teach the truth and rebuke the Pharisees. He doeth all things well. He just don't meet the needs that you have when you have them. He meets the needs that you don't even know you have when you have them. He doeth all things well. He don't only just come by in the midst of the storm. Praise God, he's there in the great times too, just to walk and talk and spend time with you. Because his fellowship is sweet and he doeth all things well. He don't just show up in the midst of the hurricane as the eye of the storm. He's there all the time because he doeth all things well. He just don't speak to our heart and tell us how much he loves us. He told those that followed him, he said, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. I'm a picture of that Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb. Paschal lamb means Passover lamb. You know what the family was to do? They was to take the lamb. They was to shut it up, keep it and look at it, make sure it was without spot and blemish. They were to kill the lamb, and they had to eat it with everything. They had to roast it whole. They didn't gut it. They didn't clean it. They had to roast it whole. And then they ate it and had to eat it all. Amen. They had to eat it all. We can't just accept Jesus when he suits our theology. We got to accept it all. Amen. We can't just accept Jesus when he meets our needs. We got to accept him when he tells us those things we need to get rid of. We got to accept him all. We can't just have Jesus when he agrees with my thoughts and my theology, but we got to accept him when our theology is in contrast to his and submit ours unto him. We got to accept him all. You see, these people in Decapolis learned a valuable lesson. They learned that nobody can do what Jesus can do, for he doeth all things well. He saves your soul because you can't save yourself. He saves your soul because you can't be good enough to enter into heaven. He saves your soul because we were without hope in this world. And God sent his son to die for our sins because he doeth all things well. God wants to do a work in your life through his son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that what he does well. And whatever it is that you need done, I guarantee you tonight he doeth all things well. I guarantee you if you'll seek his face and seek his will and seek his desire, it might not be what you want, but he doeth all things well. So we stand to our feet tonight.